congratulations, you're winning that free Whataburger for a year. Nice job, and because it's Fan Appreciation Night, we're hooking up your section with Whataburger coupons and your section with Whataburger.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Mavsland. This is your host, Isaac Harris, the Dallas Mavericks, Mavs Studio 41. Guys, we did it. We made it to the playoffs. It's here. It's playoff time, baby. Play-in set. You just watched a great Whataburger fry toss from the AAC. Just incredible. We're going to do a little film breakdown of that at the very end in on the back page. So if you're not on YouTube, man, you need to hop on YouTube just to watch the breakdown of the form from this toss. It's just incredible. It needs to be signed to be Dak's replacement. All right, today, we're going to have a little award show at the beginning. We're going to kind of go set in the audience and watch an award show because we just have so many nominees for the best, worst Luka take out there over the past month. Actually, we'll just do 2024 because this is where we're at. There's just some incredible Luka Doncic takes flying around. MVP season right now, as the voters are going to be voting here in the near future for MVP. Luka Doncic deserves to be the most valuable player in the NBA. I broke one of my Twitter rules this week, went back and forth with somebody. That's one of my rules. Don't argue, but you know what? Luka deserves to be MVP. So made a whole case last week. If you want to hear my whole case for that, I'm not going to do the whole thing again. But that was on last week's Welcome to Mavsland. So make sure you hop on and do that. I'll do a Mavs Clippers preview because nobody's doing that right now, or no one will do this all week. So I know you need to hear a Mavs Clippers preview. Honestly, I did do a lot of digging, looking around. And I mean, this is all we're going to do this week for as Mavs fans, as Mavs content creators. Yeah, is look at this Clipper series round three coming up this weekend. So, and then, yeah, we'll do some stuff at the end, like I always like to do, some fun little quick hitters on the back page of the newspaper. But first, let's go to the award show. This is the award show for the worst Luka takes of 2024. Now, we had a lot of submissions, okay, a lot of nominees. The Academy decided that we could break it down to six, okay, and only three is going to get an actual award. All right, I know typically in award shows you just get one winner, but you know what, there's just too many going around right now, so we have to acknowledge some of these. So we're going to do three honorable mentions at first, and then we'll hand out some hardware. All right, some people are going to be walking away with some gold. All right, first honorable mention, we have three. We have the great Nate Duncan. All right, so Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue, they did their MVP stuff the other day, and Danny LaRue had Luka fourth. That could be its take on its own. But Nate Duncan went as far as just to casually put it out there on Twitter and says, quote, "The Thunder's offense with Shea is better than the Mavs offense with Luka. Plus, Shea is a top defender at his defensive position, while Luka isn't close to that at his. Seems like a pretty clear case for Shea to be second in MVP." So I was like, oh, dang, man, must be a pretty clear case. So let's pull up the offensive numbers with the Mavs with Luka and OKC with SGA. Let's look at the offensive rating. Wow, they're one off. This is before the last day of the regular season, and I know a lot of meaningful basketball happened there. Mavs offense with Luka, what I looked up, 121 offensive rating. Thunder offense with Shea on the floor, 122. So I'll give it to you. That 1 point in offensive rating, it's pretty clear. I will give him, Shea is a better defender than Luka. Does that make it a clear case over Luka? I think there's a lot of other things on Luka's side that would make him a clear second candidate for MVP over Shea. But you know what? That's kind of weak. It's kind of weak. Let's move on. The next one, Michael C. Wright from NBA.com does his NBA ladder in which the Kia, make sure we get that sponsor in there, the Kia NBA ladder. I don't know why I did that. It's not like we're getting anything from it. So he releases it. I'm not even talking about where Luke is at him, but he's at third on the MVP list of this MVP or this MVP ladder. And, but it's the last sentence. All right. It's the last sentence. I'm about to break out some videos. So this is the last one I'm reading. Michael C. Wright on NBA.com says, there's no disagreement here. If you've got Doncic at number two, he's trekked a tougher road while cranking out more production than Gilgeous Alexander. Okay, pretty good. Here's a great one. But he also plays alongside a future Hall of Famer, too. You heard it here first from Michael C. Wright. We've never seen an MVP play alongside a future Hall of Famer. This would be a first. Actually, I'm just totally kidding. This is not a first. What? What kind of last line is that? Oh, but Kyrie's really good. So, you know, the other candidates, they don't play with good players. Just Luka. So, the ultimate moving the goalpost here. All right, the last honorable mention, I can't give it any hardware, and it doesn't even mention Luka specifically. And honestly, I debated on whether even playing this because it's so awful that I don't even like I watch it and I can't even find it funny, but I do kind of at the same time because it's so stupid. I'm going to play this, all right? Honorable mention, Gilbert Arenas having a discussion about why the defense is so bad in the NBA. And they asked, how do you fix the defense being at bad in the NBA? Here's Gilbert Arenas.
I know what they can do. Get rid of all the Europeans.
What?
You just said it. You just said it. You go to college to learn defense. Yeah. What college do Europeans go to?
I'm with you. No, I didn't say get rid of them.
They don't go to college whatsoever. They have no athleticism.
They all come over.
They have no athleticism, right? They have no speed, no jumping ability. They are a liability on defense.
All right, I can't do it anymore. It just pisses me off. This is the classic case of the Europeans being so much better than Gilbert Arenas ever was in his career. So he's getting really salty about it. And I kind of regret even playing it now because it's such an idiotic take. It like legit makes me mad. But anyway, anybody can. All right. The final awards, the actual awards being handed out right now. All right. In third place, handed out to none other than Stephen A. Smith. Talking to Shannon Sharp about who should win MVP. I think this is on First Take.
Assessment, who do you think's going to win? If you had to say right now, who do you think's going to win?
I think they'll give it to Jokic. I would vote for Shea. I have a vote. I would vote for Shea. Jokic would probably be number two. I got to admit to you, it's a battle for number three between Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson. Mm.
Hold up. You just left Luka out? Hold on. You left Luka out?
Hey, that's a fifth seed. That's a fifth seed. He's battling for fifth seed right now. Fifth seed. You know what I'm saying? Come on, Shannon.
Stephen A. Smith, make your way up to the stage to accept your third place award. Just an incredible take. The look on Stephen A's face and like his voice when he thinks he's like really funny and really he's battled for fifth seed. I'm like, dude, you really think this is awesome take right here. Luka being the fifth seed in like the fifth spot or in Stephen A's words, fighting for the fifth spot in the MVP. I mean, just incredible take. Like, I mean, just a it's entering third place there on the 2024 Luka Doncic takes. Second place. Ooh, this was a fight. This was a battle. Second place. I referenced it last week. We just got to watch the clip. On the best worst Luka Doncic takes of 2024.
Sort of Carmelo Anthony with a more refined game, better range. I don't know if I'm getting anything on the other end. I don't know if his teams will succeed in the playoffs. I don't know if he's the greatest teammate, but buckets?
Yeah.
This is Melo with a three-point shot. Like, you're just going to get a lot of points. I have my doubts.
No way. You have your doubts, Colin Coward. This one's just flat out incredible. Like, Carmelo with a three-point shot. I have my doubts. Okay. Thanks. Oh, just climbing the ranks right there. I will say, Colin Coward, I think, shot out a tweet saying that he would vote for Luka right now. This was on Sunday afternoon. So maybe he's coming around. Maybe that's where he's at. Maybe he just really likes Melo. But the winner. Oh, the winner came through this week. And it was just, I mean, it was the cherry on top of, I mean, all of these Luka takes just piling up right now in the media. I can't say no more. I just have to play it. And I hate it that it came from these guys because I love these guys. And especially the Tar Heel.
Who are your two guards, first team all NBA?
Ooh.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
But here's the deal. You don't have to limit it to two guards. It's positionless.
But if I had to go to
positionless.
Anthony Edwards. If I had to go to Anthony Edwards and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Over Brunson?
Over Doncic?
And
over Doncic?
Yeah, that would be second team.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Kenny Smith's, my favorite part of this was Kenny Smith at the end going, yeah, and puts his pen down. Like, he just accomplished something. Like, he just wrote out, like, he just finished writing a book, a book of the Bible or something. He just put the pen down. It's like, yeah, that was it right there. Not even first team. First place. The award, the hardware. I know he has two titles. Kenny Smith gets the. I would do a standing O right now, but I don't want to like mess up my podcast setup right now. I just the willingness to go there, to not even put him first team. There's one thing to not have Luka Doncic in MVP or even the second in MVP, but to say after this historic season, this insane season that we've never seen before, for Luka to not even be first team, to not make a five, and I get it, he was just doing the backcourt and all of that, but to pick Ant and to pick like over Luka and him not be first, I mean, just a great win. So I just want to do, you know, there's a lot of ribbons we can hand out to people who did not qualify, did not get hardware. There's just some incredible takes going on right now. And just had to honor that. Just had to welcome that and acknowledge some of the great stuff happening right now around the media sphere. All right, we're past that. Let's talk about the Mavs Clippers. Can we? Should we? It's what we're going to do all week. I'll be talking about this again on Wednesday in our live stream with Bobby. Wednesday around lunchtime. We try to do that every single Wednesday. So make sure you hop on there, interact in the chat, and take some questions and stuff. And then we'll talk about Mavs Clippers again on Friday, as game one will probably be Saturday at the latest on Sunday. But Mavs Clippers, man, there's just, I said this a few weeks ago and I was like, man, I don't want to play the Clippers again. And It's more of like fatigue more than anything, because I'm like, dude, we really got to do this Clippers thing again. We really got to do a series preview and watch these guys and like all this stuff. And it's like the matchups and all this stuff. And it's like, you look back at these, you know, the past series, you got, you know, the bubble in 2020, they played there, and, you know, and nobody in the crowd, Luka hits the, you know, the insane highlight we've all seen, the buzzer beater, the step back from Reggie Jackson. We have the trash talking. We have Porzingis getting ejected. And we have, you know, the Seth Curry trying to defend Kawhi. We have the Trey Burke game. Then the next year, 2021, we're back in the arena. Dallas takes the 2-0 lead in Los Angeles. They come back for game three. And it's one of the, I've referenced this a lot, it's one of the craziest moments of the AAC that I've been a part of, was that first run there in the first quarter of game three. And you're like, holy crap. I was sitting next to my friend, Jonathan Charks, and we watched, you know, these home games together. It's like, dude, this is really happening. Like, they're about to go 3-0 on the Clippers. Obviously, Clippers came back and won. They won the series and all of that. And, you know, I was thinking about, I don't have my phone next to me. I was thinking about Nick's tweet the other day. Nick Angstead, Locked On Mavs. I don't know if you ever heard of him. And he tweeted out all of the second leading scorers after Luka in these in the playoff games against the Clippers. And it's like Porzingis, it's Jalen Brunson, it's Trey Burke, it's Tim Hardaway, it's, you know, some of them are just like, it's Maxi one game. Some of the, you know, our players are just random in these matchups. And it's just a testament after all of that, after the two series I just laid out, after, you know, the list of players that were, you know, that most of them are not even on the team anymore, that were the second leading scorer behind Luka. I think you have to say, throw it out. Throw it all out. Okay. There's history. Round three will be brought up and round three will be hyped up and promoted. And I've said it, round three, like, here we go, let's do this. But it's kind of not round three because both teams are so different. Like, even this season, you could say the teams are so different. I was going back and watching the last time the Mavericks played the Clippers. I was watching that full game and Dallas started Dwight Powell and Grant Williams. And what a difference it is having Gafford and PJ Washington in there instead of Grant Williams and Dwight Powell. And it's like crazy just to see how much of a difference, like in watching a game like that, I'm like, wow, like it really changes the team a lot kind of when you go backwards and you're watching it. But there's so much chance, and like the Clippers, I mean, the Clippers signed Kai Jones. The Clippers also the Clippers obviously have James Harden now. They didn't have James Harden those first two series. They have some new guys. They lost some guys like Marcus Morris and Nick Batum and these guys. Like, both teams are so different. Yes, there are cornerstones that are still there with a Luka and a Kawhi and a Paul George and some of the role players and Zubats and Terrence Mann and stuff. But both teams are so different that I kind of just want to say, throw it out. I don't want to hear any stats of the first two series because there's just so much difference between both teams. So that's my first initial thoughts of the series. My first one is like, hey, we're going to match up with them again. My mind went to round three. The more I looked at both the rosters and the games and those series and all the different stuff, I'm like, this really isn't round three. This is kind of a round one. Like, this is a new, just two different teams. Mainly Dallas is just a whole different team than the last time they played in 2021. So about the Clippers, some stats that I think is worth knowing right now, or at least going into the series some. So the Clippers are fourth on offense, 17th on defense. Kind of like the Mavs in a way. That kind of, they're not a perfect mirror of themselves, but they're kind of similar at the same time, a little bit. Just go with me. But fourth on offense, 17th on defense. Here's a huge difference between the two, though. Pace. And I think this is something I'm so fascinated with this series, is who wins out on what pace this series goes. So the Clippers are 23rd in pace this season. Dallas is 6th. So who's going to win out? Clippers want to slow it down, right? Clippers have a really good shooting team. You look at their shooting numbers across the table. You look at their three-point percentage, really good. You look at fourth in the league in three-point percentage, by the way. You look at some of their transition offense, kind of lower stats on that, lower rating on that, because they don't get out and run. They don't want to get out and run as much. They don't want to slow it down because why? They have good ISO players. They have good pick and roll players. You look at some of their numbers in the pick and roll. Excellent. They're great. You get the ball in Kawhi's hand, Paul George's hand, James Harden's hand. You get it in those three guys' hands and run pick and roll. You run some isolation and you say, all right, get into the paint. What does the other team do? They collapse, they double team, and then they kick it out to some of their shooters, like two of the other guys, a Harden and Paul George, a Norm Powell, a Terrence Mann, you name it across the board, and they're a good three-point shooting team. This is what they do. This is why they're fourth in the league fourth in the league on offense. Now, something they do struggle in, get ready here. I love to talk about rebounding. 24th in the league in offensive rebounds allowed. Does this come into play for Dallas? If Gafford's out there pulling down some offensive rebounds, or a Derek Lively, whenever this is an area that the Clippers struggle in. So if the Clippers are driving and kicking, guess what they don't have great numbers in either. That is points in the or around the rim. You look at some of their numbers around the rim, they don't have great numbers in that because you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to kick it out, find some open shooters and all that, shoot some of the mid-range shots. So can Dallas flip the script on them some? Can Dallas try to force the pace and not force the pace, but pick up the pace? Can Dallas force them to the rim, especially if Dallas is playing a Daniel Gafford or a Derek Lively? Can they force them to the rim and try to finish at the rim? I'll be curious to see if Dallas can do that. But let's look at some matchups in this series. So Luka's going to get his, all right? We know that. We know what Luka can do against this Clippers core. We know he can do against a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George. They're some of the best, I mean, and a Terrence Mann, some of the best perimeter defenders. Luka can put up buckets. I saw a clip the other day, I almost put it in there, about Lou Williams saying, yeah, I mean, what? Because Luka can't put up these numbers in a whole series. I'm like, bro, I think you played in a series against Luka in which he did that to y'all. But anyway, some of the matchups in this series, who guards Kawhi? Is it Paul George or Terrence Mann? I was looking at the other day, I was like, who across the league? And I was just trying to find other point guards and to see who guarded who. Like, I looked at when they guarded the Sacramento, or when they played the Sacramento Kings, I'm like, oh, who guarded Fox? And it was Terrence Mann who's going to chase around De'Aaron Fox. There was another game, gosh, I forgot what game that they were playing, and they put Paul George on the scoring point guard. So I'll be really curious to see who gets the Luka assignment and who gets the Kyrie assignment, because I'm fully expecting Terrence Mann, Paul George to get one of them and the other get the other. But as we all know, they can switch, and there's at times it really doesn't matter, but it kind of does at the same time. So one of my questions, my guess is I think Paul George takes Kawhi and I think Terrence Mann takes Luka, but with Kawhi probably taking Luka at the end of the game. One of my questions though, in regards to matchups, who goes small first? Because we know that both these teams can go small and they can go small ball. One of the series I went back and looked at was the Clippers series against Utah in 2021. I think it's 2021. And this was a series in which they won in six games. They lose the first two games to Utah. This was the series. Like, this was the year that if Utah was ever going to win with that core of Mitchell and Gobert and all those guys, that was the year. And then the Clippers went in there and just flat out embarrassed them. Tough, tough, tough few weeks for David Locke. But why did the Clippers win that series? You look at what they did to Gobert, and that's when they started going small. You look at how many minutes Zubats got in that series. I think he averaged around like 11, 12, 13 minutes a game. They started putting Marcus Morris at the five a ton, shooting a lot of threes. Will they do that with Dallas, and how quick do they go to that? And does Dallas counter and say, you know what, you're going to shoot the threes and try to get Gafford and Lively away from the rim and into the corner and all of that? Do we counter by putting Maxey in? Does Maxey play a lot? Or does Dallas say, you know what, we think Lively and Gafford can kind of hold their ground, and we think we can punish you enough on the other end to make it work? I'm so fascinated to see what happens in that, in the chess match, and who goes small first. I'm assuming the Clippers go small first, take Zubats out, because we all know who loves to ISO out Zubats. That is Luka Doncic. Does he try to target that at the beginning? Does he target James Harden instead? But what happens? Who goes small first, and how does Dallas respond? Because I think the Clippers will go small first. Another question I have for you: whose defense is the most real? Do you believe in the Mavs' recent? Do you believe in the Mavs' recent upgraded? No, upgraded is not really the right word. Uptick in their defense, or do you believe in the names of the Clippers' defense? So the Clippers' defense is struggling, especially in the second half of the season. The Mavs defense is getting better in the second half of the season, but the Clippers got the names behind it. Dallas doesn't necessarily have the names behind it. They're making the names for themselves, PJ Washington, Derek Jones, and all that, but I wouldn't say they're regarded in the same manner as a Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. So will the Clippers stars and big names that are known for defense, will that come out more, or will it be the Dallas's kind of uptick in defense? Will that win out? Which defense wins out? Which defense plays better? I'm very curious on that. My voice is starting to get tired now. Let's look at another thing. Mavs win if, Mavs lose if. Mavs win if, and this is just wild to say, because this is just weird saying this for a Mavs team. The Mavs win if they keep the pace up and they get out in transition. Like, the Mavs have decent transition numbers. They like to pick up the pace. They like to, you know, keep, they have been. This is something that Luka improved on this year. It's what Dallas really wanted to kind of change up this year, is just get the ball out and go. And will they, like, who wins that pace battle? Like I was talking about in the beginning, don't revert to iso ball. I think the Mavs win if they don't revert to that iso ball. If you get down and it gets tense, don't revert back to this, you know, the 35-foot step back. Let's keep the offense going. Let's keep the pace going. Let's keep alternating. Kyrie, Luka. Obviously, Luka's going to have his hot streaks. Kyrie's going to have his hot streaks. Keep feeding the hot man. But, yeah. And the biggest thing of all, and, you know, I go back to Bobby saying this back a few years ago whenever they made the Western Conference Finals run against Golden State. It's about the role players hitting threes. If the Mavs win, if the PJ Washingtons, the Maxi Klebas, the Derek Jones Juniors, the Josh Greens, those guys hitting threes, that's how the Mavericks win this series. Because I think Luka gets his, Kyrie gets his. The PJ Washington, when he shoots 35% from three in a game, the Mavs are 6-1. And he's going to play 35 to 40 minutes a night against the Clippers. He's got to hit the open threes. They're going to leave these guys open. And Dallas, we know they can get into the paint. We know they're going to find the open guy. The Mavericks lose if the Clippers really slow this down and kind of like gross it up, and they iso them out. They hit the open shooters and they don't let Dallas get out in transition, and they kind of just pick them apart. They have the better iso players. Dallas obviously has Luka and Kyrie, so you could say, hey, they went out. I just say better iso players because they have three of them compared to Dallas's two. So don't come at me right now. Kyrie and Luka, probably the two best iso players in the whole NBA, but the Clippers have three good ones at the same time. The Clippers are 14-3 when they hit 15 threes or more. So they're 38% from three. They're fourth in the league in three-point percentage. So when they hit at least 15 threes in a game, it pretty much means they're going to win. So how does Dallas limit those three-pointers? Can they guard their perimeter enough? And this is where the whole chess match goes into play. Can they defend the perimeter enough and be tight on the perimeter and force them to the paint where the Clippers struggle? But you know where what's going to make them struggle is when you have a big man like Gafford or Lively in the paint protecting the rim. Can they keep them out there if the Clippers go small? It's just back and forth and all of that. So the Clippers have a lot of good shooters. How do you limit those? And if Dallas can't limit those, that's how they could lose. I put in there Kawhi turns Terminator. How the Mavericks lose this series. We all know, we've seen what Kawhi can go to. Yeah, it's scary, man. I mean, when Kawhi's at the top of his game, it's absolutely insane. And then I'll put a small note in here. I don't think it's the series decider, but you got some energy guys in there. Like I think Russ in the six-man role, Westbrook is energy, his fire coming in. Like, who's going to match that from Dallas? Who's going to get the tech, arguing with Russ and all of that. Like, I think that's going to who can just match that in a second unit from Dallas whenever Russ comes in there. Terrence Mann has energy and these guys. So that's Mavs win if, Mavericks lose if. And you're going to say I'm biased because I'm a Mavs employee. I'm pretty confident in this series. So could come back to bite me. I think we're going to share our series predictions on Friday on the Corner Three, myself, Bobby, and Austin Ivan. So I'll give a series prediction then, but I'm weirdly like pretty confident heading into this series. So, all right, let's go into the back page here. Back page. Little quick hitters here at the end of the episode. Guys, I love Andy Bailey. He is one of my favorite Twitter followers. Twitter follows. He does follow me, but I meant Twitter follows. There's different times I'll, DM him, ask him about things, and I love the work he does. So this isn't an Andy thing. But Andy posted, this is an Andy thing. Andy posted a tweet. Andy's huge Jokic guy. I get it. Jokic is awesome. I've never been in this camp of like, hey, Luka deserves it, so Jokic sucks. And it's like, no, that's not it. Like, if Jokic wins his MVP, I totally get it. I understand it. My whole thing all along is like, I think Luka deserves it at the same time. So, But Andy tweeted out this thing. Andy has some of the wildest stats I've ever seen. And I just, some of the stat names on this, if y'all haven't seen it, Drip, Darko, and my favorite one that a lot of people's running with, the kitchen sink win probability added. Guys, if Jokic beats Luka and the kitchen sink win probability added, why are they even voting? I mean, come on. Should lock you up for MVP right there. I know a decent amount of NBA stuff, and it never fails me. There's some stuff in there, some stats that come out of nowhere. I'm like, does anybody know what that is? Or are we sure that decides awards and all of that? All right, next. Omax got some minutes the other night. Please, just watch it.
It's made. The Mavs have hit three threes in this game as well. Posterizes.
What?
Yeah! Postery, Omax. Dude, I got so hyped when that play happened. I've loved these minutes watching Omax. Obviously, he's brawl. It's going to take time. And he had a couple threes in the OKC game. That was a fun game to watch. I'm like, dude, I got to watch Omax playing. And he kind of looks like a deer out there, just like unleashing. He's going to make mistakes. But I'm excited for his offseason and how he's going to grow. And hopefully he has a good role on this team next year. But it was a lot of fun to watch. I love watching Omax, and I could watch him play basketball all the time. All right. One thing I don't understand right now, the Caitlin Clark discourse. I don't understand the hate from the older crowd or the older NBA players or even current NBA players with Caitlin Clark. And I guess some of it's like jealousy, but like she's brought so much popularity to women's basketball. And I think it's awesome. I think it's so much fun watching her play. It's going to be a lot of fun watching her play in the WNBA next year when she comes, when she comes to Arlington and plays the Wings. Like, it's going to be fun. So many people are going to pack that arena to watch Caitlin Clark play. I just don't understand why she's getting like just some of the comments from like current next players in the WNBA. It's just so weird. It's like, man, why can't we just enjoy a good basketball player coming into your league and bringing more popularity to it and stuff. So anyway, I don't know why I brought that up, but I just had to get that off my chest because it's the last quick hitters. It's on the back page. Play-in thoughts. Play-in was just solidified like an hour ago to me recording this. Very interesting. I think the East will be fun. Heat versus Sixers. I kind of want the Sixers to win. I want to see the Sixers play the Knicks in the like 2-7 matchup. I think that'll be a lot of fun. The West, Lakers, Pelicans. Poof. I mean, I'm just assuming the Lakers are going to win that. Warriors, Kings. That's fun. There's a lot of history there. Just the playoff series that could happen in these things. The Suns squeaking into the sixth seed. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we're all going to watch the play-in this week. And everybody's just going to tune in for Bulls, Hawks. Think I might be busy during that one. Guys, if you haven't been watching X-Men, Gambit. It's hard to even talk about Gambit. Spoiler alert. Last week's episode of X-Men 97, I've been waiting for the show for so long. I have like this book about the show. This is literally the thing that got me through my childhood. I feel like this is the one show I've watched all the stuff. Years ago, I went on this like mission to find all the DVDs for all the seasons. This is before Disney Plus even existed. And this show has lived up to all the hype and more. But this past week's episode of X-Men was one of the greatest TV show episodes I've ever seen. I'm pretty sure I read today. I think it's true. This is the highest rated Marvel series, like TV show that they've ever had, which is wild to think about. If you're just into X-Men or Marvel, whatever, I just recommend it. And Gambit is an OG and he's awesome. So go watch it. Last but not least, we got to watch the Whataburger fry toss.
The red fry.
Oh!
Congratulations, you're winning that free Whataburger for a year. Nice job, and because it's Fan Appreciation Night, we're hooking up your section with Whataburger coupons and your section with Whataburger coupons.
Brianna, MVP. We're over here arguing about Luka being MVP. Why can't we do Pravi Brianna for MVP? The form on that was, I've never seen somebody throw it like a football, but she like threw it and she threw it in a way to where it went up and then it like kind of reversed back into the bucket. You know, most people go underhanded with it, you know, try to toss it in that way, but just the overhead throw, she came back to beat the guy and it was just a wild performance from Brianna. She deserves everything and more in life. Actually, I don't know about her, so she deserves Whataburger for a year because she hit that. But just great form. Yeah, good job, Brianna. Go Mavs for Brianna. Guys, we'll be back next Monday for a Welcome to Mavs Land. We'll have game one under the books. Gosh, if you're a Locked On Mavs listener, you listen to me for years, you know some great sayings in there. Game one will be in the books. I'll be breaking that down on the show and anything else in Mavs land if there's any new takes. If you had any other awards to hand out to the best worst Luka takes at the beginning, let me know in the comments. It'd really help if you left a comment below in the YouTube comments or leave a 5-star rating on iTunes, subscribe, share it with a friend, whatever. We'll be having some guests on soon. And I think I'm hopping on Locked On Mavs this week with Nick to talk about this Mavs Clippers series too. So, yeah, there'll be a Take That With You. There'll be a Somos. There'll be a live stream on Wednesday. There'll be Corner 3 on Friday. There's the Thursday night podcast, live podcast with Devin Harris and Dirk Nowitzki. That'll be a lot of fun. Get your tickets to that. Anybody in the DFW area can come to that. So, yeah, a lot of stuff's going on in Mavs land this week as we build up for the playoffs this coming week. Guys, catch you next week. Peace out. Boom.